Our text today, Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Let us now hear the word of the Lord. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come this morning and we give ourselves to you. We commit our lives, our souls, our minds, our hearts into your hands during this time. We give ourselves to your word and pray that you would take your word and, Lord, shape and mold our minds and our hearts, that we might think, that we might love those things that you want us to think about and focus on, and those things that you want us to love. Most of all, Lord, help us. We are so tempted to love creation rather than the Creator. And so we pray, Father, that you would help us. Help us today as we study your word. Help us to love you with all our heart, soul, and mind. We pray your blessing now on this time as we study your word. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was a kid, I used to read Chick Tracts. Maybe you know what that is, maybe you don't. It's kind of like a little comic book form of a gospel tract. Now, this is not a blanket endorsement of everything Jack Chick ever taught or put in a Chick Tract. However, there is truth there. And some of the truths and the images that he put in pictorial form have stuck with me for a long time. One of the tracts that he wrote was entitled How to Get Rich. And on the front of it was a picture of a bag of money. And within the pages of that gospel tract, he told a couple of stories. The first story was about a man whose, I believe it was his uncle, who was getting ready to die. And his uncle was rich, extremely wealthy. And all this man could think about, what consumed him, was getting his hands on that inheritance. And so the man was supposed to sign the will that would bequeath all his earthly goods to his nephew. And the lawyer shows up. And just as the man is getting ready to sign the paperwork, he drops dead. And the man loses the fortune that he had expected to gain. In another part of the tract is this man. The story is told about this man who has great wealth. And he wants to build the most secure vault where it can be stored and protected from thieves and those who would take his money. And so he hires this security company. The security company comes in and builds him this fantastic vault, state-of-the-art sort of thing. And then a little while later, he is talking to the police because he's been robbed. All of his treasure, his money, his wealth has been taken from him. And he wonders how this could be. I purchased the greatest of security in this vault. And the man tells him that the company that he used to install the vault was run by a burglar, a robber. Here we come to Matthew 6, 19 through 21. And Jesus wants to teach us about the transitory an untrustworthy nature of earthly riches, of earthly wealth. He wants to teach us to not do what we are prone to do by our fallen nature, and that is accumulate possessions and wealth here in order to satisfy our own desires and protect ourselves. And what Jesus tells us to do instead is lay up treasure in heaven, where nothing can attack or take the treasure that is stored there. We come to this next part of the Sermon on the Mount, verses 19 through 21, and the theme today is treasure. Where is your treasure? We're talking about this in three ways. First, talk about treasures on earth. That's not what Jesus wants us to do. He does not want us to lay up treasures on the earth. It's in verse 19. Then we'll look at the flip side of that, the opposite of that, which is laying up treasure in heaven. That's verse 20. And then finally, Jesus tells us something so very important about the state of our heart, about the person that we really are, when we store treasure either on the earth or in heaven. And that's verse 21. Let's set the context here. We just finished Matthew 6, 1 through 18, which we said was a unit. It goes together. What was Jesus doing in the first 18 verses of chapter 6? He was dealing with the practice of the hypocrites in three different areas. In the area of giving, in the area of prayer, and in the area of fasting. What were the hypocrites doing? In all three of these areas, the hypocrites were all about themselves. They were trying to do things for human recognition and human praise. What was their relationship with God about? It was empty. It was shallow because they didn't really have a relationship with God. What they were looking for was human approval rather than the kind of approval that God's people should look for, and that's approval from God himself. So Jesus taught his disciples, don't be like the hypocrites. Do things truly, sincerely, and genuinely from your heart. Engage in secret giving. Engage in secret prayer. And engage in secret fasting so that you can be genuine and direct the motive of your heart toward your heavenly Father who sees in secret all of these things. Now, in verse 19, we're going to shift gears a little bit to the main topic of the rest of this chapter, which we could summarize as Jesus' teaching on wealth and possessions. Jesus is going to teach us how to think about money and material things. And then in the latter portion of the chapter, he's going to tell us to quit worrying about these things, to stop fretting and spending our lives in chasing after the things that people who don't know God chase after. Now, it's not that these two sections are completely disconnected, so let's think about how they are connected. In the first 18 verses, Jesus is teaching his disciples, in effect, to lay up treasure in heaven. Remember the word reward that was used through those first 18 verses. What were the hypocrites doing? They were, in effect, laying up treasure on earth in the form of human praise and human acknowledgement. For them being spiritual or perceived righteous or what have you. The disciples were to do the exact opposite of that. Why? Not so they could get their reward here on the earth, but so that they could get their reward from who? From their heavenly Father in heaven. So you see the idea, the underlying principle is very similar, even though Jesus has shifted gears to talk more about wealth and possessions here in the latter portion of chapter 6. Now, this is important as every portion of Scripture is important. And I personally want to pay very close attention to what Jesus is teaching here. And I want you to do the same thing because I think we have a problem here. And I think we have a problem here in America. And as I thought about it this morning, not just in America, but around the world. We are by nature, if God doesn't save us and restrain us, we are by nature materialists. We can so value money and material things, whether that's clothes or houses or lands or cars or actual money itself. We can so value these things and turn them into a god. Turn them into the focus of our entire life. And so we need to hear what Jesus has to say here. I don't want to study this passage of Scripture and come away unchanged. And I don't want you to come away from it unchanged either. I think each one of us has something important to learn here. And I'm sure there's an area in our lives of sin and idolatry when it comes to money, when it comes to material possessions. And so we want to pay very close attention, as always, to what Jesus has to teach us on this topic. Okay, let's now think about treasure. Treasure is the key word throughout these three verses. Verse 19, lay not up for yourselves what? Treasures upon earth. Verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Verse 21, for where your treasure is. What is treasure? Now, when you hear that word, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Our buried treasure, right? X marks the spot. a big treasure chest. You open it up and the coin, gold coins and the jewels start spilling out and all that sort of thing. Okay, yes, that's a form of treasure, but don't think about it just in that way. Jesus is talking about valuables. He's talking about what we consider to be valuable and thus should be stored up, preserved, protected. That could be clothing. It could be food. It could be actual jewels and treasures and things like that. It could be any number of things, earthly things that we value and we consider to be so valuable that we should accumulate it and preserve it. That's the idea. It's interesting that the Greek word, here's your Greek lesson for today. The Greek word for treasure here, the noun form, is thesauros. Does that sound familiar? That's where we get our English word thesaurus from. What's a thesaurus? A thesaurus is a treasure house of what? Of words. It's a storehouse of words. So when we're talking about treasure, thesaurus, we're talking about something that's valuable. And when Jesus says, lay up or lay not up, it's the same word. It's just the verbal form of the word. It's thesaurizo, which means to treasure. Okay, so Jesus says, treasure not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Verse 20, but treasure up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Okay, so Jesus is here talking about valuable things that people tend to store, that people tend to protect and put in a storehouse, so to speak. Now we have a negative and a positive here. Jesus is going to tell us, don't do this, do this instead. Let's start with the negative. Verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Here Jesus tells us something not to do. Do not store up these valuable things upon the earth. First, think about the location. Where does Jesus not want us to store treasure? He doesn't want us to store it here on the earth in this life. What type of treasure does he not want us to store? Well, because of that, we know he doesn't want us to store earthly treasure, earthly material valuables, wealth and possessions. So practically speaking, as we've already covered, we're talking about money, clothing, food, supplies, lands, cars, all of that sort of thing. Jesus tells us not to store it up, not to lay it up on the earth. What's your initial reaction to that? Well, some people, even though they wouldn't want to say it out loud, would think, well, that's kind of foolish. How practical is that? That we don't accumulate things on the earth. Other people maybe have questions like, okay, what does Jesus mean by that? Is Jesus saying that this is wrong and that this is okay? And it raises all sorts of questions of what does Jesus mean specifically by do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon the earth. So we need to think carefully about what Jesus does mean and what he does not mean. And so this brings us back to hermeneutics. What's hermeneutics? Hermeneutics is the science of interpreting the Bible. How do we interpret the Bible? Remember, we talked about it at the beginning of our study on the Sermon on the Mount, and we've returned to it a few times throughout the study. It's important for us to avoid two ditches on either side of the road. Okay? So picture yourself going down the road of the Sermon on the Mount, and you want to avoid falling into this ditch over here and this ditch over there. You want to stay in the middle, right where you should be, with the truth of what Jesus is teaching. This ditch on this side is for us to think about what Jesus says here and not think about anything else the Bible teaches. Right? We should not do that. We should not ever do that. We shouldn't do that with any passage of Scripture. We need to understand each passage of Scripture on its own, yes, but not in such a way that it ends up contradicting some other part of the Bible. Why is that? Because God's the author of the Bible. And does God contradict himself? Does God say one thing over here and then change his mind and say the complete opposite thing over here? No, he doesn't. See, we have many human authors of the Bible, but one divine author. behind each of them. And so there's no contradiction between what Jesus says here and what Jesus says elsewhere, or what Paul teaches or what Moses teaches. Okay? It all goes together harmoniously. So we have to make sure we don't interpret Jesus' words in such a way that we understand him to be contradicting something else in the Bible. He does not do that. What's the ditch on the other side of the road? The ditch on the other side of the road is that we think there's really nothing to challenge us here. And we don't take the time to really think about what Jesus is saying here in this passage. Do we need to think about the total picture of the Bible? Yes, absolutely. But do we also need to think about what Jesus is saying here? Yes, we must do that as well. And so going back to what I said a few moments ago, I want us to look at this passage and ask the Lord to show us afresh and anew what this means and how we should apply it to our own lives today. Okay, what does Jesus mean when he says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon the earth"? Let's first begin with what he does not mean. Jesus is not forbidding us from saving, or from saving for a rainy day, we might say, of doing wise and prudent things that are future-oriented. Why would I say that? Well, let me give you a few examples. First of all, Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, chapter 6. The ant is used as an illustration of wisdom. Listen to what the proverb says about the ant. "Go to the ant, you sluggard, you lazy person. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest." What is she commended for? The ant is commended for a prudent saving and storing of things against the future, for the future. Should we do that? Yes, we should. We teach our kids to save, right? Don't spend that money as soon as you get it, we tell them. It may feel like it's burning a hole in your pocket, but it's not really. You don't just have to go spend it. You need to save, okay? What is that? Is that just our human wisdom we came up with? No, that's biblical wisdom that we apply to our lives today. So Jesus is not saying that all forms of saving are wrong. In addition, parents should seek to leave some kind of inheritance for their children, should seek to do things such that they have something to pass on to their children. For example, Proverbs 13:22, "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous." Christian people are required to provide for their families. 1 Timothy 5:8, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Okay, so these are all things the Bible teaches. Jesus is not denying any of them. He's not telling us that every form of saving or of handing something down to the next generation or of providing for our families and having the means to do so, he's not saying that those things are wrong. Think about Joseph in the Old Testament. What did God use Joseph to do? He used Joseph to store up food in order to feed Egyptians and ultimately to preserve the family of God, right? Who did that? The Lord did it. The Lord set things up so that Joseph would have the wisdom, the knowledge to store up all that grain and all that food so that for the 7 years of famine, the people of God and even those who weren't the people of God could be taken care of. That's number one. Number two, Jesus is not contradicting the fact that God himself enriched some of his people in the Bible and still does it today. Can you think of a few rich people in the Bible that it was God who gave them the wealth? That it was God who blessed them with the material possessions? Abraham, for example, is one of the richest men in all of the East, the Bible says. Or Job, who had great possessions, both at the beginning of the story and at the end of the story. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth." When someone is wealthy, they're wealthy because of the sovereignty of God, because God has so determined to allow that person to have that wealth. Third, it is not wrong for those with earthly possessions to actually use them and enjoy them. This is not a prohibition against having any kind of material things and actually using them, appreciating them, being thankful for them, and finding some measure of happiness in them. Listen to what Paul says to those who are rich, 1 Timothy 6:17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Who gives us all things richly to enjoy? God does. The Lord does that. Okay, so there's some qualifications. Okay? Jesus is not telling you to cease saving or cease providing for your family or take up the profession of a beggar out on the street corner somewhere. Okay, it's not enough to say what he's not saying. Now we have to say what he is saying. What is Jesus saying when he says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth? Number one, Jesus is telling us to stop pursuing wealth. Stop seeking to be rich. Quit chasing after and accumulating all the earthly goods and valuables of this life. This is also taught in another portion of Scripture in many places, one of which is 1 Timothy 6:9. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Is there not a difference between being wealthy and desiring to be wealthy? There's a difference between those two things. Now, there's a very fine line between the two, is there not? And we'll talk about that. Is it hard for the rich man to enter into the kingdom of God? Yes, it is. Jesus said that. Why? Because the rich man puts his trust, his heart, in his wealth, in his possessions, more often than not. Although there are poor people who do that as well. Number two, Jesus is teaching us not to selfishly hoard things. Not to accumulate things for self. Whether that is just our own desires or our own protection and security. Jesus is teaching us not to hoard up things for who? For ourselves. Look at how Jesus puts it. Lay not up for who? For yourselves. Treasures upon earth. You think of the parable of the rich fool in Luke 12. What's he do? He has a great crop. He has a great year. And he says, I don't have enough room to store all my goods, all the things that I have. I know what I'll do. I'll tear my barns down. I'll build bigger barns. And then I'll have room to store all these things. And I'll have many things for many years. And I will say to myself, take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about that kind of attitude and that kind of life that says, I want to accumulate all these things, and who am I doing it for? I'm doing it for me. Whether we think we have good motives or not, we're not to selfishly hoard. Number three, Jesus is here teaching us against seeking our security in earthly wealth. This is a danger for all of us, is it not? It is a danger for us to look at our bank statement and either be fearful that we don't have enough or to see how much is there and come to trust in what's there. Think, I got it made. I got it covered. Think about your 401k. If you have a 401k or a retirement account of some kind, I look at mine and I've seen it in my heart sometimes to look at the account and feel a certain way and think a certain way about that thing. But then I have to remind myself that that's not where my security lies. My security doesn't lie in how much is in the bank or how much is in the retirement account or what have you. Why? All that stuff could be gone in a moment. We experienced that not too long ago, didn't we? What was it, 2008? When the 401k that was here went to here. And people who had 200,000 now suddenly had 120,000. And we were all reminded afresh and anew not to trust those things, not to put our faith in those things. That's not where your security lies. And Jesus wants us not to lay up these earthly treasures and put our trust in them, but instead lay up treasure in heaven and put our trust in the God who reigns there. Fourth and finally, Jesus is here teaching us priority and focus. Where should our priority and focus be when it comes to money and material possessions? It should be there. It should be eternity, not this present time, and not the earthly treasures that so many people are chasing after. That's not our focus. That's not our priority. Do we need money to live? Yes. Do we need some possessions to accomplish things? Yes. But oh, it is such a danger for our heart to get fixed on it, for it to get a grip on us. And very subtly, things have changed, and now our focus is away from God, away from eternity, and is now on this present life and on the earthly things that we think we need, that we think we can't do without, and we need to accumulate them in order to be happy or protect ourselves. Now, Jesus gives a reason for not doing this here. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. What's the reason here? He gives us two different basic reasons. The first is corruption, and the second is insecurity. Why should we not lay up treasures on earth? Because they are subject to decay. They are subject to deterioration. They're subject to corruption. First is the moth. The moth is an agent of corruption for what? For clothing. So here you have someone who has stored up this nice clothing, this fine clothing. They put it in the closet, and then they come back later, and it's eaten through with moths. They've destroyed it in some way. Now, somebody might try to get smart and say, oh, but we've got mothballs. And so we fixed that problem. But you yourself know that clothes don't last forever, whether they're eaten by the moths or whether they just get ruined. I know not to buy white shirts, although I've got a white shirt on. Okay, I know not to wear a white shirt on a regular day to meals. Why? Because again, I guess I'm getting older and I look down at myself and I have ketchup on my shirt. Or mustard, or what have you. And used to do that. Things get ruined. Rust is also mentioned here. The word for rust is literally something that eats through. It's the word for consumption. It's a word that's used about food and eating elsewhere in Scripture. So the idea is not just rust, but that which corrodes and eats through, consumes something. And rust is one of those things that does that. You take a precious metal or of some kind, and what does the rust do? The rust tarnishes it, ruins it, eats through it. You've seen, I'm sure, somebody's rusty old car in a yard. Well, at one time, that was a nice car. At one time, it was a new car. And now there it is. It's sitting in somebody's yard, and it's become a rust bucket. This is what happens to things. In addition to that, Jesus says these things are insecure. End of verse 19. Where thieves break through and steal. You hoard up and gather up all these earthly goods and valuables. What can happen to them? They can be stolen. They can be taken in a moment. In the first century, when people's houses are made of mud and things like that, where you can dig through, you know, the thief can come and dig a hole in your back wall and come into your treasure house and take your valuable things. Now again, somebody wants to say, well, we're smarter than that. We're more advanced than that. Our houses are made out of this, not that. And we have all these technologically advanced ways to protect our valuables. But none of them are foolproof, are they? None of them are absolutely certain. As the technology advances, so the thief advances in technology. How much smarter are the thieves nowadays? You build some elaborate computer system to protect yourself, and what do? They hack into it in order to steal what you hold dear. I'll never forget when I was a kid, we went on a trip to my grandmother's house. And in the midst of that trip, we found out that our house had been broken into back home. And I didn't go home. My dad and my brother, I think, did to see what was going on. And some of the valuables that my dad had were gone, were stolen. And guess what? We never saw those things again. Nobody ever caught the thief, and nobody ever returned the things that were stolen. This is the nature of earthly riches. You can't hang on to it. It's not going to last forever. So why would we put our hearts there? Why would we focus on laying up and accumulating these things for whatever reason when we know they're going to be destroyed eventually or taken from us? And so Jesus is trying to get us to see spiritual common sense here. Don't do that. Don't lay up treasures on earth because they could be destroyed and or taken from you. What should we do instead? We should lay up treasure in heaven, verse 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Here's the positive side of it. Jesus wants us to lay up heavenly treasure. Now notice that Jesus does not say, don't lay up treasure in heaven because laying up treasure is bad, period. And you shouldn't do it. That's not what Jesus says. The problem is the location and the type of treasure that you're focused on. Jesus wants you to focus on the true treasure that can only be stored in heaven. You see the difference in the location. Earth in verse 19, heaven in verse 20. What type of treasure is Jesus talking about? He's talking about spiritual treasure. We know that from the reference to heaven, right? Can you go up to heaven and say, Lord, I've got a deposit to make. I've got 20 bucks and I want you to keep it safe for me. I've got a bunch of pearls and I want you to hang on to this for me, Lord. No, we don't do that. It's not the kind of treasure we're talking about. What are we talking about? We're talking about spiritual things, right? We're talking about acts of faith, deeds of mercy, love for your neighbor, giving to the poor, all these sorts of things. We could think about it very broadly and generally, that anything done truly for God, anything done in faith in Him, in obedience to His word, is us laying up treasure in heaven. But one of the primary ways in which we lay up treasure in heaven is through giving, is through taking the money and the material possessions that we are tempted to accumulate and give them away. Let's think about this for a moment. Mitch read in the scripture reading Matthew 19 this morning, the story of the rich young ruler. And remember what the rich young ruler is told to do by Jesus. Listen to the words again. Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor. And you will have what? Treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. How is the rich young ruler going to have treasure in heaven? He's going to have treasure in heaven by giving away his wealth. By giving away his money and his material possessions. One more, just to drive home the point. Luke 12:33. Sell what you have, Jesus says, and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. Jesus is here teaching us about giving. How do we lay up treasure in heaven? There's a multitude of ways to do it and do it rightly. But one of the primary ways is to give. Is to give it away. It's hard, isn't it? I know. Sometimes I don't want to give it away. Sometimes I want to accumulate it. And I see the grip that it sometimes has on my heart. How do we loosen that grip? How do we get free from the hold that money and possessions often gets on us? You open your hand. That's how you do it. You grab your wallet and you prepare to give. That's how you do it. So the question for you and for me is this: where is your storehouse? Where are you accumulating treasures? Is it here? Could you take me to it and show me? Yeah, I'll show you where my storehouse is. It's such and such First National Bank. Let's go down there and we can check it out and we can count the money. Or would you show me something completely different? Where are you storing up treasure? Now, Jesus gives the reason why we should lay up treasure in heaven, and it's the opposite of what he gave for not doing it on the earth. Verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. The problem with the earthly treasure is it's insecure and it's corruptible. The glory and blessing and benefit of heavenly treasure is it's completely secure and it's not corruptible. No treasure in heaven is ever going to tarnish and grow rust. The moths cannot touch it, and the thieves can't get there to take it away. In the words of Peter the Apostle, we are reserved for an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That's what we're talking about here. Third and finally, Jesus teaches us not to lay up treasure on earth, but to lay it up in heaven. And now he gives us a reason. Here's the reason in verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Notice that little word for at the beginning of verse 21. That's a word that tells you the reason. What is the ultimate reason why Jesus is telling us to do this thing rather than this thing? Answer, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Wherever your storehouse is located, there's something else there. And it is something of utmost importance. What is it? It's your heart. If you want to know where your heart is, you go to where your treasure house is. You go to your storehouse. And if you go to your storehouse and it's here on the earth, that's where your heart is as well. Has Jesus not been teaching us that about the importance of the heart here in Matthew 5, 6, and ultimately 7? Yes, he has told us in a variety of ways just how important your heart is. Not your organ that pumps blood, but what you love, what you desire in here, what is most important to you. That's what he means by the heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. There's two things here. When you store up treasure on the earth, it first of all reveals the state of your heart. It reveals what you really love, what you really desire. What does your bank account, what does your record of giving, what does your current state of material possessions reveal about who you really are? About what you value the most. About really what is most important to you. If we had a young person and they were in love, this young man's in love with this young lady and he plans to marry her, and he's distracted, and all he can think about is her. And we were talking about him, we might say his heart is in Chicago. Let's say she lived in Chicago. We say his heart is in Chicago. What do we mean by that? What he loves is there. It's not here, it's there. Because that's where the object of his affection is. In a similar way, we know where our hearts are and what our hearts love most by where our storehouse is. In addition to that, not only does it reveal the state of our heart, But if we start accumulating things in one place versus another, our heart's going to follow. Our heart's going to go in the direction of our focus, our attention, and our priority. Surely we know of someone, whether it's in the news or personally, and you thought, hey, it's a pretty good person, pretty nice person, and then they came into some money, and everything changed. Everything changed, and their life was just consumed with money and things and stuff like that. If we're not careful, that could happen to us as well. And so the Lord here warns us that where your treasure is, there your heart is also. How about you? Where our treasure is demonstrates something that is fundamental about us, who we really are, what we love, what's most important. What does your bank account say about your heart? What does your retirement say about what you consider most important? What does the state of your money indicate about what you really love? These are hard questions, and I am asking myself these questions as well. And I ask you to seriously face them as well, not just me. This is for you. As I preach and as I prepare, I'm trying to sit at the feet of Jesus and say, okay, Lord, I hear what you're saying. What needs to change? I think that's one thing that you should come away from this sermon with. What needs to change? What needs to change in my heart and in my actions as it relates to money, material possessions? Lord, am I really laying up treasure in heaven, or am I doing it on the earth? Show it to me, Lord, and help me to be your disciple. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, as always. And Lord, I don't think any of us would say that we are without sin, without blame and fault in this area. We have known professing Christian people who surely seem in love with their money, in love with their possessions. And not just others, Lord, but us. Maybe we know it's wrong, but we slip into it from time to time. And it creeps in, and we begin to love money and begin to love earthly treasure. We pray that you would help us, Lord. We pray that you would forgive us for the ways in which we have laid up treasure on earth instead of in heaven, for the ways that we have been focused on getting rather than giving. We're all guilty, Lord, and we ask your forgiveness, and we pray for grace. Show us, Lord, how we can change, how we can grow, how we can be a more giving, more generous person, how we can loosen the grip of money and possessions on our heart. We know that if we do this, it will be by your grace and with your divine help. And so we ask for it today, Lord. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As you leave today, let's receive the Lord's benediction from 2 Corinthians. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.